Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, great to gather once again in your name. And so, Lord, as we look at your word again this morning and this little study devotion, Lord, is a little different because there's real no prayer in it, at least that is mentioned. And there is definitely an absence of prayer and the consequences of that. And help us to learn how to pray, and help us to learn the importance of prayer, and even to see some instances where consequences occurred when prayer was not given. And so, Lord, guide us now as we again go back to the book of 2 Samuel and King David. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to look at the ark being brought to Jerusalem, and there's not really essentially a prayer here. That's the problem. He didn't pray, and he didn't seek the word of God. And is that a common pattern for us as well? I'm afraid it may not be common, but it is too common, isn't it? Even if it doesn't happen very often. We want to do something we want to do the right thing with the right motive, but then we end up doing the wrong method. We can get in serious difficulty of that. And so open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 6. As I was thinking about songs to sing, I couldn't think of a hymn that says, there's probably a lot of them out there, that I didn't pray and I didn't seek your word and I suffered the consequences. I came back to this old praise song, Psalm 18, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Because in today's little devotion, we have the absence of prayer, where David did not call upon the Lord, and then we had consequences, and then we see him calling on the Lord, and it went very well, and then he just worshiped and worshiped and worshiped and worshiped without restraint, humbling himself, and it's just such a great example for us. So as always, we just get so touched when we are in his word, right? But let us sing together this little praise song, the words which you know. I think they sing it three times here on this little Maranatha one, but let's just call upon the Lord now in song.
Be saved from my enemies.
So in 2 Samuel 6, remember last time we had this great account where after Ishbosheth was killed, Saul has died, Ishbosheth, his son, has died. And so the elders from the 10 northern tribes came to David and they say, be our king. And so now Israel is united, and it says David with all the men of Israel. And then he moved to Hebron from Jerusalem and established the capital there. And we read back in Chronicles that he built an ark for the Lord. And now we have in the account here in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, his desire to move the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, there's a little map on the front of your notes there. It's just kind of an interesting. I didn't know where Ebenezer was, but I guess this is right. Anyway, Shiloh was where it was. And if you look at your map, it is in the right center, right above the word Ephraim. And that's the tribal allotment of Ephraim is. And so they took the Ark from Shiloh down to Aphek. And there was the Ebenezer stone with Samuel. Now, that's about 70 years earlier. And then it was captured by the Philistines and went down through the various capital cities of Philistines. And they sent it by an ox and a cart back up to Timnah there around Beth Shemesh. And then Israel took it. And then they put it in the house of Abinadab by Kirjath-Jearim. That's right, just a little bit. I don't know if you can see that or not. But Kirjath-Jearim is in the lower right center. Then now they were going to take it from Kirjath-Jearim to Jerusalem. Kirjath-Jearim is only about 5 miles point to point, but because of the mountains and all, it's probably more like a 8 or 10 mile journey. So we read now, David decides, okay, I'm going to build, or maybe he already has built a tabernacle in Jerusalem, I don't know, but I'm going to bring, I guess he already had, and he says, I'm going to bring the ark up. Okay, now he's got the nation behind him, right? So what does he do? He disregards the Lord. He doesn't pray. He doesn't seek the Lord, because the Lord, back in Numbers 4:15, said, if you do anything out of the solemn worship, particularly with the Ark of the Covenant, if you touch it, whoever touches it shall die. Well, he totally disregarded that, as we see here. And so what does he do? He didn't. And by the way, the Ark, as you know, was only to be carried by the Levites and the priests. It was not to be transported any other way. Well, the Philistines didn't know this, so they put it on an ox cart, right? So now David is going to move the ark. So what does he think? Oh, 30,000 soldiers. Wow. And I'll hire bands and lots of promotion, and we'll really do a shindig here. It sounds like a good outreach in most churches, right? We're going to do a real outreach to spread the gospel. So what do? Well, you got to have donuts. You got to have cookies. You got to have bouncy things for the kids. You have to have a lot of radio ads. You have to have a lot of banners and, you know, bring in some big name music, right? Big bands, get them all in, right? Doesn't that sound like kind of what we're talking about here? Nothing to do with the priests and the Levites. So David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000, and he arose and went with all the people who were with him to Kirjath-Jearim to bring up the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And now look at what they do. So they set the ark of God on a new cart. What a temptation you have and I have and the church has to bring the world into something. Oh, I just heard a new idea. The best way to do whatever it is, you know, let's get a new cart. That's the way the world did it. Isn't that the way the Philistines brought that ark back 70 years ago? So 70 years later, what's he go back to? He goes back to the worldly way. John Corson said, what is a cart? It's just nothing but a board with big wheels on it. And that's what most churches have. They have boards with big wheels on them. But we see here, then that David arose and went with all the people to bring it up. And so they set it on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, who was on the hill. That's the house of whose they just left it there 70 years earlier. Uzzah and Ahiho, the sons of Abinadab, that's probably the grandsons, because Abinadab by now would have been well over 100 years old, I'm sure. But sons in Hebrew, you can't tell whether it's sons or grandsons or great-grandsons. I mean, you know, you can be the son of David and you can be 15 generations removed, right? But Uzzah and Ahiho, the sons of Abinadab. Uzzah means strength. He's going to lead this procession, apparently. And ahiho means friendly. So here you have friendly, going along, you know, cheerleaders, right? We need these cheerleaders, right? Don't we? Let's get the playbook from the NFL cheerleaders at halftime and, you know, really put on a show, right? So we're going to do this upright, right? They brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Ahiho went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music. Yeah, we got the big band now. Played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, harps, string instruments, tambourines, sistrums, cymbals. They've left nothing undone, right? And they came to Nashan's threshing floor, which nobody knows where that is, but it's obviously somewhere between Kirjath-Jearim and Jerusalem. And we see what happens. There was a stumbling. Now, never before in the past has there been any stumbling regarding the Ark of the Covenant. But now we're moving it in the wrong way. And so what happens? We stumble. So there's a stumbling. And Uzzah, in being a good man, caring about the ark, afraid the ark was going to fall off the cart, so he steadies it, right? What happens? He's killed immediately. Now David suddenly comes to the realization. God says what he means and means what he says, and it's a solemn thing that God has about his worship, and the ark is a very holy thing. Israel had, it had degenerated to kind of a, I don't know, yeah, any of you ever heard of a rabbit's foot? You know, a good luck charm? It'd become a good luck charm. Let's bring it into battle. Maybe it'll help us, you know? And now David says, let's just move this thing up like it's kind of like a good luck charm, really, you know? He doesn't really have any real holiness attached to it, or he would have checked it out. So it says, the oxen stumbled, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And now David became the same word, angry. It doesn't say he became angry at the Lord, but he became angry at what the Lord's reaction was, the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name Perez Uzzah to this day. Now remember, last time we had the Perazim, which is the same word, which means the outbreak, and in that case there was an outbreak of victory, like water pouring through the enemy's line. Well, here we have the outbreak of, not of, of a victory, but of anger, and the Perez Uzzah to this day. And now we see David's fear of the Lord being aroused. David was afraid of the Lord, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? It's a little late to ask that question, isn't it? But all he has to do is go back to the Word of God. It's right there. It tells us exactly how to do it. It tells us that there's rings on the ark. You put in the poles, and only the Levites or the priests can carry that ark. You remember the three sons of Aaron, and one of them got the carts to carry the heavy stuff, another one got even more carts to carry the heavy stuff, but the Kohathites, the priests, they didn't get any arks at all. They were carrying the furnishings and the holy things of the sanctuary or of the tabernacle, and they were to carry it. And I'm sure that David probably thought, well, you know, this is about an 8-10 mile journey. That's too long to carry that thing. We'll just put it on a cart. I mean, really, you know, isn't that a lot better? You know, isn't it a lot better? Well, it wasn't. So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him, and he stuck it in Obed-Edom's house, who is a Levite, by the way. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom in the 3 months, and then the Lord blessed him and all his household. So now David sees, hey, he's being blessed with this. I better get with it and see how to do it. So we have a great explanation of this in 1 Chronicles 15. I won't go into it now because I don't have time, but it gives you the details. He sought the Lord, and he ends up now putting another party together to take it up the right way, and 862 priests and Levites. 862. The first time, we don't know that he had any. He probably had a few, but I mean, not that wasn't it. But now, it's not the 30,000 troops. It's the 862 Levites. And so what do? He does it the Lord's way. And after they go about 30 feet or about 6 paces, they see now everything is going well. And so they make sacrifices, thanking the Lord that he is blessing what they want to do in great humility and in trepidation. Some people say that he did that every 6 paces all the way in. The scripture doesn't really say that. If you want to interpret that way, you can. If you want to interpret it, that when they got there, we know when they got there, they had a full sacrifice of 7 which the full sacrifice is seven rams and seven lambs, but that was after they were already there, and now they're thanking the Lord for the job well done. I think that possibly can be concluded from that. So we see that he brought it in to the city of David with gladness, and now he is, verse 14, he's dancing. This dancing is the only time this word is used in the scripture. It's not really a dance like you would think of it necessarily, probably, but it's a whirling about. David is whirling and whirling and whirling. He takes off his priestly garment. He takes off his king garments, right? And now he's got a linen ephod. It's almost like his linen underwear, kind of like the priests or even like the slaves. It was not, it was just common people. Common people's. He doesn't want to be the king. He just wants to be a common person worshiping the Lord without abandon. And so he's whirling about with all his might, and they bring it into the city, and with shouting and the sound of trumpets, everything is going great, right? Got a little family problem here, because Michal, Saul's daughter, she's looking through a window, and she sees King David leaping and whirling before the Lord in his underwear. Well, basically, at least without his kingly garments. And she despised him in her heart. You know, they didn't have a good relationship in the first place. Remember, way back when Saul wanted to get even with David, he wanted him to marry this gal because thought she would be his downfall. Well, it almost was here. Now, David offers the burnt offerings, blesses the people, gives them a loaf of bread, a piece of cake, and a cake of raisins, and they departed everyone to his house. And so now, filled with the Spirit, I'm sure he is just, you know, on top of the mountain, going to go home and bless his house. He doesn't even get in the house, but here's Michal meeting him at the door and saying sarcastically, I believe, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. Welcome home, honey. You know what a sharp tongue will do? It will prompt another sharp response if we're not careful, and David doesn't really hold back. So he puts her down in a sense of, in term of her father. It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. So David says, I want to worship the Lord. But now notice, but as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, and so forth. Then Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children. She was barren for the rest of her life, which is a real curse. And I think there's a real great lesson in here as well for us. When we criticize worship, when we criticize anyone coming to the Lord, when we quench the Spirit, when we quench it, we're a Michal, right? Really? Well, I don't like this song. Well, I don't like that song. Well, maybe we don't, but do we want to quench the worship for everybody else? I find myself very critical, way too often. And I thought about maybe my name should be in here instead of Michal's, but we don't want to be a Michal, right? So as we go to prayer this morning, let's just summarize what we talked about here. We see lack of prayer and lack of being in God's Word bringing great consequences for David as he moved that ark to the Ark of the Covenant, attempting the first time. And a man was killed, Uzzah was killed because of that. And we say all the time, what do we do to stay close to the Lord? We pray and we meditate on His Word, right? And how true that is. Because if we don't, we get in trouble. Even if our motives are right, even if we're doing the right thing for the Lord, but doing the worldly way, it's not going to be fruitful as opposed to doing it His way, right? And then we want to worship Him. We want to praise Him. And we want to be careful we're not just quenching the Spirit for others too, right? Father, as we have the opportunity to pray this morning, we just thank you that you hear us and lead us by your Spirit, Lord, that we would pray in one accord because we're led by one Spirit. And Lord, may we pray for whatever you have us, whether it's the fire in Reading or whether it's kings and those in authority. We want to pray for the church. We want to pray for the body of Christ. We want to pray for the lost, Lord. And we just want to honor you in all ways, Lord. So lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.